when she spoke to me about it. And I would say that I had a bad cold or that I wasn't feeling well. That went on for maybe 2 months. And then she got after me again about drinking. At that time, the repeal whiskeys were back, and I'd go to the store and buy my whiskey and take it to my office and put it under the desk, first in one place and then in another, and there soon was an accumulation of empty bottles. My brother-in-law was living with us at that time, and I said to Vi, "Maybe the bottles are brothers. I don't know. Ask him about it." "I don't know anything about the bottles." I actually wanted a drink, besides feeling that I had to have a drink. From that point on, it's just the average drinker's story. I got to the place where I'd look forward to the weekend's drinking and pacify myself by saying that the weekends were mine, that it didn't interfere with my family or with my business if I drank on the weekends. But the weekend stretched on into Mondays, and the time soon came when I drank every day. My practice at that juncture was just barely getting us a living. A peculiar thing happened in 1940. That year, on a Friday night, a man whom I had known for years came to my office. My father had treated him many years prior to this. This man's wife had been suffering for a couple of months, and when he came in, he owed me a little bill. I filled a prescription for him. The following day, Saturday, he came back and said, "Jim, I owe you for that prescription last night. I didn't pay you." I thought, "I know you didn't pay me because you didn't get a prescription." He said, "Yes, you know the prescription that you gave me for my wife